On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the upcoming football game against Texas A&M and give my six-pack of picks for the weekend, and I also review this past week in Gamecock athletics. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 13, lucky 13, of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and we are just going to dive right in, baby. Welcome to Zebtober. It's actually about to be Zebtober and, I guess, Zebvember, as obviously we all have heard the big and honestly unfortunate news, news about Luke Doty and him having to have surgery on his foot, which will leave him out for the year. And, you know, I honestly feel bad for Luke. You could tell he never was truly 100%. He was going out there. He was toughing it out the best he could, grinding for the team, giving it his all in it. For him, for his sake, putting all football aside, it really is unfortunate for the kid. And I do hope for his sake that the school is able to work out some sort of, you know, medical red shirt or shit like that so he doesn't lose a year of eligibility. But regardless of what you think of his performance this season, I truly, you know, I like the idea of having a young quarterback who grows into their own, who grows within your system, and can be a leader of your team for multiple years. And I saw that in Luke. I remember when he committed to Carolina, I said the same thing. Here's a guy from Myrtle Beach. He's from the state. He's a gamer. He can run. He can make plays. I just hope he can come back strong, stronger than he was, and hopefully lead South Carolina to many, many wins in the future. So prayers out to Luke. Rest up, my guy. Feel better. But now our fate is sealed. It is certain. Our once QB1 is now down, and we have to turn our attention to our new QB1, Big Z, Zeb Noland. I know, obviously, we know it's a one-year deal with him. He was the grad transfer, and if you haven't heard, he used to be a grad assistant on the team. Jeez, that story's just going to be recycled and recycled, but it begs the question, what does he bring to the table for the rest of the season, and how much of a believer are you? Are you willing to go all in Zeb? Is it in Zeb we trust? And to me, when I heard the news about Luke being out, I instantly started comparing him and Zeb in my head, right? Almost like a pros and cons list. And what I ended up with was what made Luke so exciting to me and what made the potential of him so great in my eyes was the exciting plays he could make with his feet, that he was a dual threat guy, that maybe he doesn't have the best arm, but he can escape pressure and keep the chains moving. However, with his injury, we saw this year that without that X factor, you know, he has a decent arm, halfway decent, but he was vulnerable to making mistakes. Now, with Zeb, I mean, he sure as hell is not mobile. I mean, honestly, I think a tree might be more mobile than Zeb, but he brings a ton of football knowledge and a very comparable, honestly, maybe even better arm than Luke. So really, when you put it all together, I don't think we are losing or gaining a ton in either direction in terms of ability, but what we do gain is that intangible knowledge from Zeb about how to work this offense, how to read defenses, direct traffic at the line, and things like that. I do think there is also something to be said about when Zeb was first thrust into action. It was his mindset leading up to that. It was one of a coach. He was a coach. Now, he has been in the routine of the players, and he's gotten to know the guys on a different level than before. And I actually think that can only help him. Coach Satterfield actually mentioned something like this in his press conference about his comfort level around the guys. And I mean, you can imagine that. He was a grad assistant, kind of guiding these guys on what to do. They probably looked at him as a coach, not one of the guys. And then all of a sudden, it's like the big kid coming down to play recess, and you're like, what the hell? I thought you graduated, man. And now he's just one of the guys. They've probably been joking around. They know him. They trust him at a different level. And I think that could pay dividends down the line. And I mean, really, the guy, Zeb, he truly has nothing to lose. I think we saw it at the end of the Vandy game that he wants to go out there and just sling the rock and help guys make plays. So at this point, I think there are certainly worse possible scenarios that Carolina could find itself in. I think Zeb is a solid option who will operate this offense just fine. And it's a story that honestly I could get behind in these last handful of games. In fact, I have an announcement to make. I thought long and hard about this, but I have said it several times that I think a bowl game should always be the minimum expectation out South Carolina. Obviously, it should be higher, but the bare minimum of expectation should be a bowl game. So because it is Beamer's first year, and now we have Big Zeb Nolan, the grad assistant, leading the Gamecocks the rest of the way, if Zeb leads us to a bowl game, somehow I will find and buy a Zeb Nolan jersey. Jersey bet with myself, one that I hope I have to end up buying, because that would be electric beyond words. It would be an awesome story, and that Nolan jersey would just be a hit anytime you break it out. So Big Zeb, if you are listening, the stakes just got a little higher for you. Let's go, man. All right. Now that we got the biggest news from the week out of the way, let me take a little bit step back and recap other news from Gamecock Athletics before I jump into my preview for the A&M game. So week in review, something that I wasn't able to talk about because of the timing of the news breaking, but I have to give the biggest of shout-outs to the Queen of Columbia, the GOAT, Dawn Staley. Got to give her big congrats, big ups on her contract extension. Shout-out, Dawn. You the GOAT. I mean, she has earned every penny of that contract. Bringing a national championship to South Carolina makes you a god in Columbia, but everything she has done for the sport of women's basketball is just remarkable, and it's really great to see the school get behind that. And going off that news from the week, how about South Carolina women's basketball being named preseason number one by the AP? I think this year's team is going to be something special. I am super excited for them to show out this year. So shifting over to a couple other sports here real quick. Men's soccer unfortunately took the loss to FIU. That's all right, guys. Screw FIU, whatever the hell they are, Panthers. And then women's volleyball unfortunately took an L to LSU. That's all right, ladies. Screw the Tigers. We'll get them next time. Now back to the football front. Gamecocks linebacker Rosendo Lewis has entered the transfer portal. That's a tough one to see. I remember when he committed, actually. I was pretty stoked. I think we flipped him from Florida State. It felt like he had flashes of being good, being that thumper, that big hitter, but just things never really panned out for him. So obviously, you always wish somebody nothing but the best. Hopefully he can go get some good playing time and get some good film, as he is probably trying to take things to the next level in his playing career. And then also, according to Shane Beamer, Juju McDowell, he is back with the team. Remember, he was suspended right before the Vandy game. He said Jalen Brooks is day-to-day, but that was a personal matter, so that wasn't an injury. So hopefully everything is going well with him in his life. And then he said both Jalen Dickerson and Dylan Wanham are both quote-unquote iffy with various injuries. But he also mentioned that a bunch of guys are dinged up, they're banged up. He said they're not 100% pretty much across the board, but I guess that is to be expected after playing seven straight football games. So hopefully, as we get closer to the game, more guys are good to go and feeling spry. But speaking of football, let me turn my attention and my focus onto the upcoming game against the Texas A&M Aggies. Honestly, y'all, I'm just annoyed with Texas A&M. I don't hate them like I hate other teams. I'm just annoyed. Like, you're so annoying. We've never beat them since they came to the SEC. I was actually there at the inaugural game in the SEC when they came to Williams-Brice. I think it was a Thursday night game. I believe it was the first game on the SEC network. And we made Kenny freaking Hill look like he was about to win the Heisman after one game. And honestly, since then, I've just been annoyed. Been annoyed. It's stupid that they're even our West rival in the first place. I have the biggest bone to pick with Ray Tanner about that. Everyone has issues with Ray. We love Ray as the coach. Ray the AD, I think we all have our own issues. Mine has been and always will be that they are our West rival. I don't know why they aren't matched with Missouri. Whatever. The last 2 years, they have just smoked us, and now we have to go to College Station, which it might as well be Mars, and try to pull off an upset. I mean, seriously, College Station is probably the most bizarre place. I've never been there, and let me make something clear. I have no intention on ever going there, but I basically picture an alien planet, and there's just a bunch of people walking around in their damned monogram overalls, and then Kyle Field is there. And there's probably a gas station walking around. Giga maggots. Oh, my God. So what is Carolina looking at for this game? Any college football fan will tell you that A&M, they came into the season with super high hopes. Got off to a bad start. They took two losses. But then, of course, Alabama goes to College Station. They get upset. And A&M looks like they hit their stride since. So from what I know, it seems like A&M beats people by using their rushing attack and their defense. Of course, they had everything cooking against Bama. Running back Isaiah Spiller, he's been one of the best backs in the SEC for it feels like 2 years now, and his dominance has just continued to this point. He's got like almost 700 yards. Oh, man. And their O-line, I think, has stepped up lately. I actually saw someone say that when A&M played Mizzou, the offense was opening up huge holes that Isaiah Spiller and the guy serving hot dogs could walk right through it. So outside of that, though, their defense is pretty stacked, especially with a deep offensive line and some really talented athletic corners, which athletic corners kind of feels like it's Jimbo Fisher's calling card outside of quarterback. Quarterback, he probably was like, all right, let's just rock with this. It's a near rhyme, if you will. Shout out my poetry class teacher, near rhyme. So really, any way you slice it, I think South Carolina, we are in for a huge challenge Saturday night, y'all. Kyle Field is an incredibly tough place to play regardless, but Carolina has never really fared all that well there. On top of that, it feels like A&M has started this big upswing. They have upward momentum. They're gelling. And I'm hopeful for this last month of the season for South Carolina, but it feels like we may be limping into this one just a bit. So look, as always, though, I believe Carolina has a chance in this one, but we're going to have to play head and shoulders above what we have seen so far, maybe catch a few lucky breaks along the way. But with that, let me share my crows to the game. And again, for any new listener, I don't do keys to the game. That's tired. Everyone does keys. Just like we have our rooster crow, I do my crows to the game. So on defense, my first crow to the game, don't give up the big play. Texas A&M is going to pound the rock and live with that all night. Of course, we have to play really strong, gap-sound football in the front seven. But I think trying to limit Spiller, that could be a really, really big task. But what we can do is limit the big plays through the air and try to make A&M a bit more one-dimensional. And we can do that by not biting on any sort of play action that they run. I think that by living through the run, they're going to try to catch us when we creep up to the line, and we just can't let that happen. My second crow to the game, stay mentally sharp. This isn't anything groundbreaking, but it looked like at times last week, like our secondary had mental lapses, some dumb penalties, a couple missed tackles in big spots, and against top-tier competition, you cannot afford to do that. But it's going to be a hostile environment. There's going to be around 100,000 fans in the stands, and it could be a lot for some of our younger players. So you got to find a way to stay focused, stay locked in, and bring your A game throughout the whole game. Now on offense, my first quote of the game, Let Zeb cook. I want to see some BZE, Big Zeb Energy. I mean, honestly, at this point, just let it rip. South Carolina is almost a 3-touchdown underdog. If we come out firing, it could put A&M on their heels a bit, and maybe we could take the crowd out of things early. We've seen at times that we can operate with a bit of tempo. We've already seen that Zeb can time his throws well, so I would not mind one bit us coming out guns blazing. Also, if you haven't heard by now, we have a pretty big-time playmaker on our team named Jaheim Bell, and all he does is catch passes and bully people. So let's let Big Z cook and distribute the ball to our playmakers. My second crow to the game for the offense, don't get in our own way. And now this applies to every person involved in the offense, from the guy in the booth calling plays, down to the players, down to the damn ball boy. Don't get in our own way. If we can play a clean game, keep the penalties to a minimum, and fingers crossed, not turn the ball over, knock on wood, knocking on my head right now, then hopefully we might finally see 4 good quarters of offense from Carolina. And if we do that, we might have a chance to put up some points against A&M. So overall for the game, like I said, I think this is a major challenge for Carolina. But hey, I'm not here to kiss any other school's traditions or bow down from a fight. If South Carolina wants to go in there and be competitive and hang in there, we have to see each phase of the team play their absolute best. Defense, they got to keep the game in front of them, keep their heads on them, and on offense, play 4 good quarters, don't make any stupid mistakes. And on special teams, Parker has to do his job. The guys on the returns, they have to do and try to make some plays. And if all that lines up, then hey, I'll give us a fighter's chance in this one. And I really hope that is the case, because not only would it change the entire trajectory of the year, but it would finally give South Carolina a win against A&M. So let's see what happens. Let's hope for the best, and let's root hard as hell. Now, speaking of rooting hard as hell, other than the Gamecocks, you can find me rooting for my 6-pack of picks. This week, it's not the best slate. I don't think there's a single top 25 ranked versus ranked matchup, but hey, I'll take a meh matchup over no football any day. So ACC, we're going Boston College. Give me BC +6 at Louisville. That game is at 4 p.m. Big Ten, Maryland at Minnesota. I'm going Minnesota -5. That game is also at 4 p.m. Oklahoma, we're going with Oklahoma again. We're going Oklahoma -38.5 against Kansas. That game's at noon. I just kind of feel like Oklahoma hasn't really shit-pumped anyone this year. They've kind of had somewhat competitive games, and this just kind of feels like it could be it. I don't know. Pac-12, give me Oregon at UCLA over 65. This just feels right. Oregon and overs, they tend to go well together, kind of like peanut butter and jelly or lamb and tuna fish for you Big Daddy fans, but I think this is the game day game, if I'm not mistaken, so it should be a fun one. SEC, big news out of the SEC, Coach O will be out at LSU after the year. Gonna miss those interviews, man. I liked O. I mean, he was electric. How could you not? Who knows, maybe come over to Carolina, defensive assistant, move over to recruiter. Go Gamecocks. Who knows? But I am going to go LSU Ole Miss over 76. I've already locked that in, and I was scrolling Instagram right before I was recording, and I think Matt Corral might be a little banged up. I wish I saw that before I placed that bet. Hopefully that's just a rumor. Group of 5, going UMass at Florida State. Give me UMass +35.5 at Florida State at noon. Florida State has won their last 2, I believe. They haven't been by much. UMass, they're not that bad, but I think Florida State's pretty bad. It's at noon. I don't know. We're just going to ride with that one. I'm not putting any type of insurance or any stamp of approval on this 6-pack. It was a real crapshoot this week, y'all. But with that, that does wrap up today's episode. Thank y'all for tuning in. As always, please make sure to follow along on social media. Twitter is Cox, Gamecox, so my last name, COX, then Gamecox, on Instagram. It is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And really, we have a challenge ahead of us Saturday, but we do not bow down from a fight. We're not just going to kiss the rings and the traditions of A&M and Jimbo Fisher. They can go to hell for all I care. So let's root them in hard. Like and subscribe to the pod. Share the word of the pod with your friends. And let's go, Cox.